from Matthew. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will I profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" What does that even mean? How does it apply to you and your life, if it even does? That's what we'll figure out today. Welcome to the Sunday service. So, what does it mean to pick up your cross, take up your cross, and to follow him, follow Jesus? I think fundamentally it means that it's obedience to God. And I think that there are also a lot of other things you can read into that. We're all familiar with the term, it's my cross to bear, my responsibility, my duty, my obligation, my work, what I'm called to do, what I must do. It's all of these things. When Jesus took up his cross, he did it with great humility and obedience to his Father. He put God's will and his love for all of us above himself to the point of his death. So taking up our cross means putting aside our selfish desires and following God's will for our lives. We're all, at least anybody who's thinking about it, many of us are thinking about and think about, what's the point of this? What's the point of life? What's the meaning of life? Existential, heavy, giant questions. What's my purpose? What's my why? That's what this is. This is picking up your cross. Taking up your cross means that. It means figuring out what it is and picking it up and carrying it, putting aside our whims, our short-term desires and thinking for, in favor of, in service of deeper meaning, greater good. Think about the highest and best use of your resources. I talk a lot about our most valuable resources of time, attention, energy, and money. And I think that a big part of getting what we want out of life is making sure that we are allocating those resources to finding the highest and best use of and for those resources. And the more we can align them, the allocation of those, with what is truly important, then the closer we're going to get to the lives that we truly want. And that's what this is all about. So a big part of this is self-denial. And I am not a monk. I have not taken a vow of poverty by any stretch of the imagination. I do plenty of things for the sake of fun and joy and pleasure. I put delicious food in my mouth that isn't good for me. I drink things that are tasty, but I know that it's not in my best interest necessarily. So it's not about totally being 100% on this all the time. It's doing our best to do the majority and to get as much of our resources aligned to what's most important. That's what it's all about. It's not a game of perfect. So Christianity, obviously, that was from the Bible, from Matthew. That actual verse and the story of Jesus is the story of Christianity. And there are other, most every other major, in fact, all other major world religions talk about this and certainly address this. So I think that there's much to be learned and gained from an exploration of not only Christianity, but the other major world religions as well. So that's what I want to do with you today. But in Christianity, self-denial is a key aspect of spiritual discipline. Spiritual discipline. It's a great term. You're familiar with self-discipline. What about spiritual discipline? Where are you at from a level of spiritual discipline? If we're not thinking about it, we're not intentional about it, we're probably not great at that. Jesus taught his followers to deny themselves and to take up their crosses. And that takes the form of fasting, prayer, giving, with an emphasis on living a life that reflects Jesus's sacrifices and teachings. So again, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. So to put a greater good ahead of your own, that's what this is all about. I know that I've always wanted to feel like I was part of something bigger than myself. And to try and live a more selfless life, not just my ego, certainly my ego, but also the way that I interact with other people and how I, again, spend my resources. In Islam, self-denial is practiced through fasting during the holy month of Ramadan, where Muslims abstain from food, drink, and other physical needs from dawn until sunset. And this practice is meant to cultivate self-control, gratitude, and empathy for the less fortunate. And certainly, I know how blessed I am and how fortunate I am in many, 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 many aspects of my life. And keep it in perspective, keep it in mind that there are literally billions of people currently living on the same planet as me that have nowhere near the amount of resources and privileges and whatever. I'm just very fortunate. It's important to keep that in mind. In the Quran, it says, O you who have believed, decreed upon you is fasting as it was decreed upon those before, that you may become righteous. So fasting. Do you fast? Have you ever fasted? Intermittent fasting has become a very, very, very popular thing, but not necessarily from a spiritual perspective. I think a lot of us do it, myself included, to lose weight, to be healthy. But it is a very, very, very long tradition and practice of simply going without, of denying ourselves. Not because I'm trying to lower my body fat, but because I'm trying to deepen my relationship with God, with our Creator. So fasting, people certainly do it in every major religion, every different philosophy or practice. So nothing but a positive thing. In Buddhism, self-denial is linked to the concept of renunciation, where monks and nuns give up worldly possessions and desires in quest to attain enlightenment. So this practice is based on the belief that attachment to material things and desires lead to suffering. The Four Noble Truths, which include the idea that desire is the cause of suffering and that overcoming desire leads to the cessation of suffering. So in Buddhism, one of the main ideas is that of dukkha, and that is that life is suffering. And that sounds really strange. If you've never encountered this idea or thought about it, but then you think about it, you say life is suffering, and not because you're mortally injured and you're experiencing pain, but that certainly is. But suffering that we don't get what we want, that we have disagreements with our loved ones, that we age and we're no longer able to do the things that we used to do, that it's really in every aspect of our lives. You can break down and look that a main feature or bug of humanity, and that really is a bug, is that of consistent suffering. And therefore, the Buddhist tradition is one of the main things is, how do I detach myself from these things in an effort to overcome the suffering. Because when I cultivate a level of detachment from aging, from disappointment, from physical pain, from a lack, from not having exactly what I want, well, then I'm moving closer to the idea of being an enlightened person. I think that it's extremely interesting, and a lot of that is accomplished through meditation, the practice of meditation. And I think it's definitely worth exploring, as all of these ideas are. Hinduism teaches self-denial through various practices like fasting, meditation, and asceticism. Asceticism is the opposite, essentially, of it is the opposite of, what is the term that I'm searching for right now? Simply trying to get everything that I want for the sake of only what I want, hedonism. So asceticism is the opposite of hedonism. A hedonist cares for nothing other than meeting their own needs immediately. Asceticism is the opposite. It's the denial of that. It's turning down comfort and pleasure and, again, self-denial. So the idea is that trying to control the mind, the senses, trying to detach from worldly possessions and focus on spiritual growth and the union with God and with the divine. In the Bhagavad Gita, it says, "He who is able, while still here on earth, to withstand the force of desire and anger before the liberation of the body, death, is a yogi. He is a happy man." So, are you able to withstand the force of desire and anger? So not just the things that I want, but also to not fall victim to anger and rage and hatred. So think about just right. I'm not going to go too hot, not going to get mad, and I'm also not going to pursue happiness all the time, and pleasure, gratification, self-gratification. I will practice self-denial. In Judaism, self-denial is seen in practices like fasting on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, where Jews abstain from food, drink, and other pleasures to purify themselves and to seek forgiveness. Self-denial is also present in Tikkun Olam, repairing the world, which involves putting others' needs before one's own. The Torah says, afflict your souls, referring to the practice of fasting on Yom Kippur. These practices across all major religions emphasize self-control, spiritual growth, empathy, and a deeper connection with the divine or to higher principles. What is the standard that I'm living? Do I have a standard that I'm living under? Am I pursuing a higher calling? Am I pursuing something beyond simply me? Or can I not see past my own nose? Am I so wrapped up in simply satiating my needs that I don't care about anything else? I'm just blowing right past the other human beings. I don't care. I want what I want when I want it. I'm essentially a child. I've got some kids at home that are well-versed in that practice. They're not into the self-denial thing because they're little kids. But as we age, as we grow, what is it that we're pursuing? What is most important to us? And that's it. That's the whole thing. That's the game, for lack of a better term. To do what must be done in service of what matters most. So we need to know what matters most to us. This is why Jesus and all other major world religions lay it out, and they give the path. It's in self-denial. It's not in hedonism. It's not in meeting all of our worldly needs and desires. And again, I'm not saying you abstain for those completely. I'm not an aesthetic. Aestheticism is, I don't think that that's a sustainable route. And I'm a human being. And the fact that we are fallen and flawed and prone to sin is a feature of our existence. But figuring out what is most important, what matters most, and then doing what must be done in service of what matters most, in service of the world that you want to live in and the life that you want to have. When we start pursuing self-interest, when we only pursue winning and getting what we want and do so at the cost of everything else, that's when it all falls apart. And you can see this in most every aspect of our lives today, where we are falling woefully short of what God wants for us and what God knows how we need to be conducting ourselves and what leads to a good life. Accepting spiritual responsibility demands that we accept personal responsibility in the face of difficulty. It demands that we take ownership of all of it. And that it is God's plan. And that we are acting in obedience to God. Accepting responsibility in the face of difficulty, to look for something heavy, to pick it up and to carry it, to shoulder the burden. Does that sound good to you? Sound good? Shoulder a burden? Well, the toddler says no. The man, the woman says yes. That's what we're talking about. Or you could hit snooze, turn on the TV, and let somebody else worry about it. A virtuous and righteous person asks not what God and the world can do for them, but what they can do for God and the world. It means so many things in so many different contexts. It's putting your fork down and getting up from the table. Getting out of bed and getting moving when you don't feel like it. It's spending time with your loved ones and doing the things that they want to do, even when you're tired and you don't feel like it. It's choosing discomfort over comfort. It's recognizing the buck stops with you and with no one else. If the future that you want is to be, it is up to you. If it's to be, it's up to me. It's knowing that you are the woman or the man for the job. You're the guy, you're the gal. And accepting that responsibility. All of that means that you are a soldier of God. It means accepting responsibility, taking up your cross, walking up the hill. It means doing your part by doing your best.